Well, I hope that that's a true statement for you, that you need Him every hour. And this is our last lesson. And one-year course, it took us longer than a year because we had different breaks in between. And this is our last lesson on the Power series, and we'll be done with this Bachelor of Prayer. I'm already working on some new lessons. As a matter of fact, I wanted to continue in prayer since it's Wednesday night, and I wanted to give a little bit more time for praying. These ones are supposed to be actually taught in a school setting, so they kind of go long. But I'm working on a thing that's called the Portrait of Prayer, or Portraits of Prayer. We're going to look at different people and what they were known for in their prayer time. But what I wanted to do is I'll give you a little thing where you can still have a small sheet of filling in the blanks, but I'm going to give you also a thing that you can take home if you want to. And like if we're doing, the first one is going to be Abraham, the man of intercession. And you'll be able to take that home, and it'll give you a Monday, Tuesday, right through Saturday, just a brief thing that you can read and a little bit about, and you'll know a little bit more about him and how God used him that will follow each night. You can take one of those home with you. But tonight we're on the power of practicing God's presence. Remember, last week we talked about the power of God's manifest presence, that it was revealed. Now we're talking about the power of practicing God's presence. And we're going to be learning about a guy that most people have never, ever heard about. And didn't know if I was going to use him as the illustration, but the more I read his quotes, the more I read about him, I did some research on him, the more I thought, I think we'll go ahead and use him. So in Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12 is where we'll start. But let's go ahead and open in prayer. Our Father, we just invite your Holy Spirit to give us understanding. You'll give us illumination. Help us, as David said, open now mine eyes, that I might behold wondrous things out of thy law. So teach us, dear Father, and help us to take what you instruct us with and help us to engraft it into our lives and to live it out. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. On the power of practicing God's presence, Deuteronomy 10:12 says, "And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee?" Now, understand, just by that statement, do you think God has an expectation of his people? Absolutely is correct. And that's exactly what he said. What do you require? What do you expect of me? What do you expect of him? That he's going to save you and keep you by his power, right? He expects things from us. So he's saying, Israel, what does the Lord thy God require of thee? But to fear the Lord thy God, number one, to walk in all his ways, number two, to love him, number three, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. If somebody saved you from eternal damnation, how could we not say, amen, Lord, by your grace and through your Spirit, enable me to do this for you. You died for me. By your grace, help me to live for you. Psalm 73, notice what it says here in Psalm 73, verses 1 through 3, and then we'll go to verse 17, then we're going to go to verse 23 to 25, and then verse 28. So follow with me. He says, truly God is a God of truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped, for I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked, until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then I understood their end. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward, I like this, receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon the earth that I desire beside thee. But it is good for me to draw near to God, for I put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. It appears that the writer here is speaking as if he is walking in the presence of God. He is literally talking with God. And sometimes we get caught up that we have to hold our hands a certain way and that makes a difference. God wants you to communicate with Him just like I'm communicating with you. He wants us to come just like your children come to you as a father. And now He says that we are His children and we should just come and communicate and talk with Him. It shouldn't be just, you know, as great as it was, Daniel had evening, morning, and noon that he prayed. Three times a day he had set times. The early church had the hours of prayer that they went to. But I don't think that that's where, like they came and then they went, okay, I don't pray again until the next time it comes. I think they communed with God all through the day, and they just had those times what they were special for, setting a time aside for just worshiping Him for who He is and what He's done. Now here's a voice. We're talking about practicing God's presence, that power. Here's a guy named Brother Lawrence, okay? And let me read what it says here on the voice of the past. Listen to what he says. We need only to recognize God intimately present with us, to address ourselves to Him every moment, that we may beg His assistance for knowing His will in things doubtful, and for rightly performing those which we plainly see He requires of us, offering them to Him before we do them, and giving Him thanks when we have done. Now, let me give you a little history on this guy, Brother Lawrence. I'm sure nobody here has probably heard of him before. Brother Lawrence he was born in 1614. So he's got a little age on us, all right? And, I mean, this guy was born 3 years after the King James Version of the Bible, all right, was written. So he is born in 1614. He died in 1691 at the age of 77 years. Here's what I come across on him, and I don't have it memorized, so I'm just going to share what I came across. His simple, profound teachings on experiencing God's presence in daily life made him a legendary figure in Christian spirituality during his life. Now listen to what it says. He lived a life of poverty and obscurity. He served for the most of his life as a lay brother in Paris, working in the kitchen and repairing sandals. This is not a Charles Spurgeon guy. This is not a D.L. Moody guy. This is not a great apostle that we're looking at. But this is a guy that God was using. As a matter of fact, we're going to get into one of our Sunday afternoon services, and we're going to have a little history on missions. And we're going to look at one man, William Carey, who was simply a cobbler. He was a cobbler and something else, a shoe repair guy. Huh? Well, yeah, well, he was doing that too. He was doing the shoes. His fingers were always either dark with stain from the shoes, or he was also doing printing at times as well. But anyway, so again, I want you to understand that God's not always looking for the most well-known people. The best person has the best GPA in coming out of Bible college. This guy here worked in the kitchen and repaired sandals for a living. When he felt he fell short or his mind wandered, this is during his regular day, he didn't obsess over it, but simply apologized to God and returned to His presence. His letters and conversations were gathered by a friend after his death, becoming a guide for millions. And if you're interested, you ought to check it out. It's a booklet, or you can probably even find a PDF after these years. It's entitled The Practice of the Presence of God. He didn't believe in just having set times of prayer. He talked with God all the way through. And you'll see some of his quotes, what he's even talking about in this. Here's another verse, passage of Scripture that follows right after his statement in Deuteronomy 33, verses 1 through 3, and then verse 12. He says this, Moses writing, and this is the blessing wherewith Moses, the man of God, blessed the children of Israel before his death. And he said, the Lord came from Sinai, he came down, and rose up from Seir unto them. He shined, or he radiates forth from Mount Paran, and he came with 10,000s of saints. From his right hand went a fiery law for them. Yea, he loved the people. All his saints are in thy hand, and they sat down at thy feet. Everyone shall receive thy words. And of Benjamin, he said, the beloved of the Lord shall dwell in safety by him, and the Lord shall cover him all the day long. and he shall dwell between his shoulders. Folks, if you just take time and reread those verses, you'll see that there is an intimacy and that there is a closeness. He loves his people. The saints are in his hand. They sat down at his feet. Everyone's going to receive his word. That means they're being attentive. They're listening to the words of their God. He covers them all the day long. They abide between his shoulders. He came down from heaven. The Bible says he came unto his own. Sadly, it says, and his own received him not. But as many as have received him, to them gave he power to become not just the servants of God, but the sons of God. Wow. It's amazing love. How can it be that God should love someone like me? Brother Ann Lawrence says this, there is not in the world a kind of life more sweet and delightful than that of continual conversation with God. Those only comprehend it who practice and experience it. In other words, you can tell that to Christians, and there will be some Christians that don't believe it's possible because they've never tasted and seen that the Lord is good. They've never dwelt in his presence. They never have taken and just spent the day walking and talking. And we even sing the song, and he walks with me and talks with me, a long life's narrow. They sing the song, but they've never experienced what the verse is saying. And it is possible. A layman who's a kitchen cleaner and repairing sandals, who's poor, is experiencing the glory of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords in his life. It's possible for everybody, and I believe God wants all of his children to enjoy that. Moses wanted the people of God to, and Moses, he blessed the children of Israel, and he prayed this blessing upon them, that they would experience this style of living. Now, there are seven keys for practicing the presence of God. Seven keys for practicing the presence of God. Let's look at a couple of the words here first off. The word practice is defined, it's in your outline, to do or perform habitually or customarily, to make a habit of. It also is defined as to do or perform something repeatedly in order to acquire or polish a skill. In other words, you have to do it to experience it, and you have to keep doing it and keep doing it and keep doing it and keep doing it. I'll tell you what, the biggest battle, I can get up in the morning, get myself ready, I can get my coffee in hand, go sit it by my little place where I have my devotion time, I can jump right into my Bible readings. I'm doing three different ones at a time right now, and they're all seem like they're, and I, it's not even planned, but they're all capping right on the same track as I need to be on. And I have no issues or problems, or I don't even have battles doing that. I can just jump in and do it. It's when I reach over and look down and I see my little church prayer binder and to grab that and the prayer maps. That's when I want to go out and do something else. That's when I think, Lord, I'm going to be praying the same things for the same people again. I mean, I'm hearing my flesh just complain and murmur about that. You listen to him, but you don't talk to him. Now, that sounds like somebody that's not a friend. If you have a friend, I mean, there's a lot of friends out there or a lot of parents out there, you can listen to God, but don't you can talk with God, but don't, or you, yeah, you can listen to God, but don't you talk to him. And the devil doesn't want you to talk with God. The devil doesn't want you to experience what Brother Lawrence experienced. Why? Have you ever thought about that? That's where the Lord always takes me. Kevin, why do you think you don't want to do that prayer time? I mean, I do it, but it's a battle. Why? There's power in that, and the devil knows that. The moment he knows that you open up that prayer map and you begin to rebuke principalities and powers and ask God to remove the stronghold, to bind the strong man so that God can spoil his house, and you ask God to take the blinders off the lost so the light would go forth and shine, and that he would give boldness and courage to the saints that are in those areas to go forth holding the words of, why don't I want my flesh want to do that? Because the devil is working on my flesh as well to not want to do that. And so we see that we could be losing out on this intimate time, not just reading. Reading is vital. Remember, reading the Word of God and praying is like exhaling and inhaling. What if you only got to do one of them? Which one would you want it to be? It doesn't matter. You're going to die either way. Never breathe out again. Or never breathe in again. You know, it's kind of like when you go to the hospital for, and we've done it several times for members in the church that are in their last hours before they go off into eternity. And the breath becomes shallow, and the breath becomes far apart, to where even at times you see a person go, and you're going, they're gone. And they keep going. And it just gets farther and farther and farther apart. You need the inhale as well as the exhale, or else you will even die spiritually. Not lose your salvation, but you'll never experience what God wants you to experience. Let me ask you this. Do you think you're going to enjoy listening and talking to Jesus face to face? What a privilege and an honor that will be. Why are you waiting? This is faith that's one day going to turn to sight. Get ready. Get ready. Here's the seven keys. Well, I better do one more. We're talking about the defining practice. Here's presence. The state or fact of being present. Something or someone in immediate proximity in time or space. A supernatural influence felt by to be nearby. Too many believers still view God as distant. That's your thinking, not His Word. So, presence key number one is focusing. Focusing, there's your blank. Focusing. Isaiah 26:3 is a great, great verse of Scripture. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, listen, whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. He goes on later and says, trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Folks, that's the first key right there. Is we see that in that area there is Isaiah 23. Thou shalt keep him or protect him in perfect peace. Why? His mind is stayed on thee. God is ever, you're always God conscious. Listen to what Brother Lawrence says here. In order to know God, we must often think of him. And when we come to love him, we shall then also think of him often. For our heart will be with our, where? With our treasure. Which Jesus is wherever your heart is, that's where wherever your treasure is, that's where your heart will be. If Jesus is the treasure of your life, your heart will be towards that constantly. Folks, the devil snatches so many good truths out of our thinking. Remember how when the sower went out to sow the seed, the first part fell on the wayside? And what did the wayside represent? The birds came and picked it up and took off with it. The moment it hit the ground, and the guy was walking away, the ravens came, they picked it up, and he said, that was the devil coming and snatching it from them that quick. That's exactly what he does. We can go through this whole year of teaching, and the whole time the seed's been being sown, and the devil's just snatching it from some of us, just and it's not taking any effect at all. How come I can't grow? How come I don't feel like God's close? He hasn't been the one that doesn't want you there. It's whether we're taking these truths and making application. Application number one. Here's some more blanks for you. To practice God's presence is to cultivate a continual consciousness and focused awareness. So you have the word conscious or consciousness and awareness of the nature and character of God. To practice God's presence is to cultivate a continual conscious and focused awareness of the nature and character of God. Brother Lawrence wants to say something again. A little lifting up of the heart suffices. A little remembrance of God, an interior act of adoration, are prayers which, short though they may be, are nevertheless very pleasing to God. Let him then think of God as much as possible so that he will gradually become accustomed to this little but holy exercise. Little but holy. Little is much when God is in it. It doesn't take a whole lot when your grandkids are little and they come running up to you with their arms open and call out Papa. That doesn't take a whole lot. That's not doing a whole lot, but it goes a long way. And you know what? If it's done properly, we have our one grandson that's 6'5", got a real deep voice. And he's in the military. When we get to see him, he comes over and he literally folds over the top of you, wraps all the way around you. I feel like he's going to pick me up by the nape of my neck and, oh, it's you, Papa. But he wraps all the way around you, bent way over, and in his deep, deep voice, he goes, I love you, Papa. And I think that's as good as when they were little. Because I don't have to worry still about what do you want. He's old enough to buy his own stuff now. Amen? Presence, key number two. One is focusing. Two is dwelling. Dwelling. You know, one of these days, we're all going to stand before the Lord. Amen? And I think we have all eternity, and He may just, every once in a while, just pick out one and just say, Bud, come on, you and me, let's go for a walk. In glory, streets of gold. Let's just go for a walk. And I think He's just going to take His children one by one, and we used to call them with our children wisdom walks, you know. And He's going to just walk with us and talk with us and just enjoy us. He did it with Adam. The Bible says in Genesis. That's what He wants to do today still. Enoch walked with God. It's possible. And we're going to realize that, Lord, I fell short. And it won't be because we didn't know what to do. Knowledge puffeth up. It's doing it, putting the rubber down on the highway and letting it run. Dwelling. Look at Psalm 91:1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Psalm 73:28. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. The psalmist says, it's good for me. If it's good for him, it's good for you, it's good for me. Listen to what Brother Lawrence got to speak up again here. Listen to what he says. I regard myself as the most wretched of all men, stinking and covered with sores. But this king, there's a mistake there. Did you catch that, everybody? The words are joined together. This was after I gave it to somebody to check it all, and they missed it. Why are y'all looking back that way? I usually would not ever point that out on anybody, except she always pointed it out on me. Nancy, I know you did that intentionally, because nobody's perfect, right, Nancy? But this king, filled with goodness and mercy, far from chastising me, lovingly embraces me, makes me eat at his table, serves me with his own hands, gives me the keys of his treasures, and treats me as his favorite. He talks with me and is delighted with me in 1,001 ways. I'll tell you what, you cannot write that down on paper if you've never experienced that level. You just can't do it. Application for this number two. To practice God's presence is to cultivate a continual conscious mental picture. There's your first mental picture of inhabiting God's secret place, of His ever-present glory. Picture and place in the blanks. Brother Lawrence, we need neither art nor science for going to God, but only a heart resolutely determined to apply itself to nothing but Him. For His sake, and to love Him only. The Bible says, seek ye my face. And He says, my heart said, thy face shall I seek. You know, it didn't say seek His. Matter of fact, even in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. Not His hands. We're always going to prayer asking, hoping that His hands will give. He says, how about just coming to see me? Just spend personal time with me, my face, not my hands, not what I can give you. I want to give you, but what about just spending time with me? You want me. By the way, you get Him, you have everything else. Presence key number three, waiting. We have focusing, we have dwelling, now we have waiting. Scripture, Isaiah 40, verse 29 to 31. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might He increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Great verse. Brother Lawrence says this, do not be discouraged by the resistance you will encounter from your human nature. That's exactly what I was talking to you about earlier. Don't be discouraged by the resistance you will encounter from your human nature. You must go against your human inclinations. Often in the beginning, you will think that you are wasting time, but you must go on, be determined, and persevere. Folks, He knows what He's talking about. And I don't know that that battle ever ceases until we're with the Lord and the faith has become sight. Application number three. To practice God's presence is to cultivate a willingness to schedule periodic, there's your blank, periodic seasons of spending quality time just to wait alone with and upon the Lord. The word periodic and the word quality. You're not there to ask for anything. You're there to maybe open up and just praise Him and thank Him for His attributes, that He's forgiving. Amen? Just His forgiveness. Look back on your life. You were dead. I was dead in trespasses and sins. And yet He forgives us completely and freely. Never to be bringing them up to us. Hey, I warned you before when you asked forgiveness that I forgave you, but I still remember that's how we operate. That's not how He operates. Brother Lawrence goes on page 53. One way to recollect the mind easily in the time of prayer and preserve it more in tranquility is not to let it wander too far at other times. Now watch, you should keep it strictly in the presence of God. And being accustomed to think of Him often, you will find it easy to keep your mind calm in the time of prayer, or at least to recall it from its wanderings. You ever wander in your Bible reading? Does your mind ever wander when you're praying? He says, be practicing, catching that and bringing it back, bringing every thought into the captivity of Christ. And one of the best things that's been helping me in my devotions this year is I'm taking one verse a week, and every day I'm doing it 10 times. I'm not necessarily trying to memorize it, but most of them are getting memorized. And I'm just saying it 10 times before I begin any of my other stuff so that your mind is stayed on Him. How does it get stayed on Him? By knowing, it's like they said, if you open the Bible, you're opening up the mind of God. If you want to know what God's thinking, Dr. Barber said, if you want to know what God's thinking, open up God's mind. And we're to let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. So we're to have the mind of Christ. Get the Word of God. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. That will enhance and make this even more possible and maybe victorious. Number four. Key number four of His presence is abiding. Did I already read this one? Huh? No, abiding. We're familiar with John 15, verse 4 and 5. Jesus himself is speaking, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except you abide in the vine, no more can ye except you abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. So you go out to your tree tonight or a bush and you see that it's blooming, has blooms on it, go over and take one of the branches and snap it off. It's died. It dies at that point, though you don't see the effects of it. When you are not abiding in Christ, sorry folks, you don't, can't expect any fruitfulness, let alone blossoms. That's why he says, abide with me. That's where you're going to get this. Application number four, to practice God's presence is to cultivate a moment-by-moment sense of living and with and walking alongside the Lord himself as we go about our daily tasks. Living and walking. Brother Lawrence says this, the time of busyness does not differ. This is an interesting statement. The time of busyness does not differ with me from the time of prayer and in the noise of the clatter of my kitchen. While several persons are yet the same time calling for different things, I possess God in as great tranquility as if I were on my knees. If you or and I are practicing the presence of God and you're having time with God on your knees or you're in the workplace, it should not, he's saying it doesn't veer. I don't veer. I'm one in the same. Folks, that doesn't just happen. That doesn't just happen. That's a daily dedication, a daily dying to self, a daily abiding. We just talked about abide with me. That means, oh, I probably shouldn't say this. Y'all want me to say it? I'm not going to then. That means your time of precious prayer and how you respond with God should be the same as if you're in the workplace and things are going on. It should be the same. Here's the one I didn't know if I should say or not. It should be the same as if you're driving down 20 or 30 and people are cutting you off left and right. I'd like to encourage Brother Lawrence to come to the DFW area. Get his mule out here. I mean, they didn't experience all that technology. You know, they probably rode mules and you don't hear about, yeah, that guy cut me off in his mule. It doesn't happen, you know. Presence key number five is resting. Resting. And by the way, the last thing I was referring to where he's talking about whether he's in the workplace and the clanging and people are talking and it's the same as his prayer closet. What that is his prayer life. His prayer closet, it's taking his prayer time out of the closet into daily living. You realize how many times you can be guilty of having a great time of in the scripture reading and then also have a sweet time of prayer and then you walk out and your flesh immediately takes over. Something happens. I just came out of the closet here. I just had time with the Lord and I'm acting this way. I mean, yeah. That's not just going to be able to happen, it's going to be a thing to battle for. We're talking about here resting. Jesus says in Matthew 11:28-30, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Those of you who are tired and worn out. And I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart and ye shall find rest unto your souls. The soul is the mind, the will, and the emotions. And we got people, Christians, whose mind, will, and emotions are on the verge of shattering. We call it stress today. And a lot of it is because we're not casting all of our cares upon him. because we don't really think that he cares for us or these things wouldn't be happening, right? The Bible says, cast your burden upon the Lord and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. And Jesus says, you're not putting my yoke on you. Yoke up with Christ. And you can rest in him. And your mind, oh, that mind sometimes doesn't want to shut down. It just doesn't want to shut down. The will, it gets subdued. I'll guarantee it, if we had Jesus come up and he had a yoke on you and he said, why don't you yoke up with me and let's go together. I'll guarantee you your thoughts, your will, and your emotions would change just by walking with him and letting him help carry the burden. And by the way, notice he didn't say, I'll take your and yoke up with you. He wants you to yoke up with him. Good lessons for Kevin Heimer, I know that. Brother Lawrence speaks up, I wish you could convince yourself that God is often, in some sense, nearer to us and more effectually present with us in sickness than in health. And he refers back to Matthew 11. You that are worn out. Application number 5. To practice God's presence is to cultivate a continual recognition that Jesus Christ is our constant companion. Constant companion. I will never, never leave thee nor forsake thee in carrying our many personal burdens and concerns. Simple amen will do. How many of you ever have burdens and concerns? That's life. In this world, you shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Well, it's good to be now yoked up with him, knowing that he's overcome all these things. Amen? You think you had it rough? When was the last time you were scourged? When was the last time you were spit upon? When was the last time you were mocked? And if anybody spoke evil against us, it's probably because there was some truth in it. There was never any truth about what they said about Christ. And yet he opened not his mouth. He never defended himself. I can't believe it. Oh my God. Render evil to no man. Vengeance is mine. I will repay. The flesh is saying, okay, God, I gave you long enough. My turn. You know? But no, that's not the way it is. Yoke up with me. Brother Lawrence says this, I cannot imagine how religious persons can live satisfied without the practice of the presence of God. I'm going to read that again because you've asked. I cannot imagine. This is not an educated man. I cannot imagine how religious persons can live satisfied without the practice of the presence of God. For my part, I keep myself retired with him in the depth of center of my soul as much as I can. And while I am so with him, I fear nothing. Very poor guy who's working in the kitchen and mending sandals for a living. Sounds like he should have been professor teaching somewhere. Presence key number 6 is confiding. Confiding. Brother Lawrence says, I drove away from my mind everything capable of spoiling the sense of the presence of God. I just make it my business to persevere in his holy presence. My soul has had a habitual, silent, secret conversation with God. No one can understand it until they personally practice it, make it a habit, and then experience it. Mark 4, 33 and 34. And with many such parables spake he the word unto them, as they were able to hear. But without a parable spake he not unto them, and when they were alone, he expounded all things to his disciples. There are some that Jesus will teach, but he'll only give them so much. And then he'll turn to those who are hungering and thirsting for righteousness, and he'll begin to go even deeper and deeper and deeper with them. Which one are you? Would Jesus just teach you something and because you can't take much? Or would he call you to aside like he did the disciples and go deeper? Number 6, for the application. To practice God's presence is to cultivate a habit of spending intimate seasons conversing and confiding with God, both within and beyond the secret place of prayer. Conversing and confiding. Brother Lawrence says this, that we should establish ourselves in a sense of God's presence by continually conversing with Him, having a conversation with God continually. That it is a shameful thing to quit this conversation, to think of trifles and fooleries, that we need only to recognize God intimately present with us to address ourselves to Him every moment. That we let, as He calls these things here, trifles and fooleries that we think of, that we allow draw us away from the God who gave us life. He was saved at the age of 18. Presence key number 7 is beholding. Beholding. Brother Lawrence says, our Lord does not ask much of us, merely a thought of Him from time to time, a little act of adoration to thank Him for the graces, past and present, that He has bestowed on you. Lift up your heart to Him during your meals and in company. The least little remembrance will always be the most pleasing to Him. Psalm 27:4 says, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. Page 56, Brother Lawrence again, a couple more quotes. How happy we would be if we could find the treasure of which the gospel speaks. All else would be as nothing. As it is boundless, the more you search for it, the greater the riches you will find. Let us search unceasingly and let us not stop until we have found it. And he's talking about this intimacy with God. Hebrews 12:1-2 says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. This is called fixing your eyes on Jesus. That would be a great title for a song, to turn your eyes onto Jesus. And this is coming out of the great faith chapter is what preceded chapter 12 of us keeping our eyes on Him, to be looking unto Him. Application number 7, to practice God's presence is to cultivate a continual mental state of beholding the beauty of the Lord in all we think and do throughout our daily activities. Beholding the beauty. Lastly, Brother Lawrence says one thing. The end we ought to propose to ourselves is to become, in this life, the most perfect worshipers of God we can possibly be, as we hope to be through all eternity. I've said this before, it's not in your notes. Why are we dissatisfied with our spiritual state, but content to do nothing about it. Tonight's our last night as we close out this study. This study is over. By the way, I want you to know, I got on my desk in my study, I got certificates of completion for everybody that got their name on it. We'll hand them out in September when we don't have missions and all that going on. I don't want to take any of their time. I will hand one out to you if you have finished the course. If I call your name, I want you to come up and get it. If you haven't finished your course yet, that's fine. Come up and get it. Just make sure you go online. John has them online. Go in there and finish filling in the blank. Don't go and look at other people's stuff. Go through the teaching and let God speak to you and make this a reality, not just book knowledge, but a reality. And now that you have it, you can go through it whenever you want. I think this is just the second half right here. Yeah. Oh, you got both in there? I just got one. Yeah. So tonight, I think it would be good for us to think about Brother Lawrence. If that guy can experience that with God, and God would love having Brother Lawrence there, would he love to have Brother Heimer? Would he love to have Sister Alma Rogby? Would he love to have Brother Glenn? Would he really love? Put your name in there. Do you think he wants that with you? Hello? I think so. I think he's been waiting a long time. A long time. Why don't you take a few minutes by yourself tonight? Just you and his face. You can do it seated. You can do it standing. You can do it kneeling. You can get up and you can walk around this building and talk with him. I don't care. It's not the posture. It's the prayer coming from the heart. So let's take a few minutes and then I'll close it out tonight. All right?